Good morning and welcome. I welcome you all to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. If you are visiting with us this morning, let me do some introductions. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'll be leading worship today. Janet Withers is our liturgist this morning. Earl Inhart will be directing our choir this morning. It's so good to have the choir here this morning. Yeah, we can clap for that. There you go. And Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ for us and the piano this morning. If you are visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card and leave it in one of the offering plates that are at the back of the sanctuary. If you are visiting from home, I invite you to leave a note on our Facebook page. And if you want to know more about our congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements to share this morning, and the first is the flowers this morning are given by Debbie Kneeler Bice in memory of her husband Charlie's birthday. And as I've noted before, the choir is returning to fill our sanctuary. Our choir rehearses on Sunday mornings beginning at 9:15, and if you would like to share your own gift of music with them, you can talk to Earl after the service for more information on that. We'd love to have you. Circle for Women will be meeting Thursday, October 21st at 11 a.m. via Zoom. It's a new study, and it's the copies of the study guide are available in the Knox meeting room there through those doors. So, if you want to be part of that, and call the church office or talk to Elaine Foley. I will note that I will be on a vacation next Sunday. The Reverend Jennifer Eastman Hinkle will be our guest preacher while I am gone. Reverend Hinkle is a graduate of Trinity Lutheran Seminary and is the former pastor of the Dublin Presbyterian Church. And we continue to hold the Hoff family in our prayers following the death of Gabe last weekend. Funeral arrangements have not been made yet, and I will let the congregation know as soon as I know. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Please join in the call to worship. The Lord God Almighty is shining his light upon us.
We gather to the source of all life and all
The God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills is calling us.
We gather to worship God, our one Father.
The God who has blessed us mightily is in our midst.
May we be faithful to him in our act of worship and selfless giving.
Come, let us worship the Lord. Join in the prayer of confession. Forgive us, O Lord, for we have sinned. We have trusted in our strength rather than in your power. We have trusted in our cleverness rather than in your wisdom. We have trusted in our deeds rather than in your grace. Merciful God, forgive us. Amen. Beloved people of God, here is the good news. Through the love and mercy of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Our scripture this morning is Psalm 104, first verse through the 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder, they take to flight. They rose up to the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills, giving drink to every wild animal. The wild asses quench their thirst, and by the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches, and from your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. Blessed be our praise.
Thank you, Janet. I want to invite the children that are with us for this special time for them this morning. And what I was thinking about when I was thinking about what I would say to the children this morning was I was thinking about those of us who help us. People who are help us get things done or protect us. People like firefighters and police officers and teachers and nurses and doctors, all those people that help us. And then there are people that just like the clerk in the store who helps us, or maybe the neighbor who helps you with a chore around your house. Maybe it's a friend that helps you with your homework, or helps you by being nice to you. So we have a lot of people that help us, don't we? And I was thinking that it would be good to include those people in our prayers. And I know what I do when I think of someone I need to pray for. I have a little list I make, and I put that down. And then when I say my prayers, I have a reminder of who to pray for. And sometimes it's someone specific, someone that I know personally, but other times it's just somebody who's helped me or might help me, or somebody I think might need a prayer. And I thought that might be a good thing for you all to do as kids. And you could, again, write down people on a list, or maybe you see a picture of a firefighter or a doctor on TV or on your computer or in a magazine or something that could remind you who you might say a prayer for. And that would be good, because I think we should always thank those who help us. So let us say a prayer. O Lord God, we offer this prayer to you, giving thanks, particularly giving thanks for the helpers you've sent into our lives, people like firefighters and doctors and nurses and police officers and those who help us in the stores, and those who help us in our neighborhood, and even those who help us in our family. All those helpers, Lord, we lift up to you and give you thanks for the ways they reach out and help us and help other people. So bless them and hold them in your hearts as we hold them in our hearts. And together we say, Amen. I have a second lesson this morning. This one comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 35th verse. Hear now these words. James and John, sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Here ends our gospel lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we ponder these words from your Holy Scripture this morning, we ask the blessing of your Spirit that we might understand these words and make them living words for us this morning. Amen. A tale is told about a small town that historically had been dry. And no, it was not Westerville. It was dry by tradition, not by law. So when a local businessman decided to build a tavern in town, there was no legal way to stop them. The tavern was built, but that wasn't the end of things. A group of Christians from a local church were so concerned about the new tavern that they planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. And it just so happens, shortly thereafter, lightning struck the tavern and it burned to the ground. The owner of the tavern sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. Now the church hired a lawyer, and the lawyer argued in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, after initial review of the case, stated that no matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear: the tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians don't. Do you believe in prayer? It's a question that I actually hear often these days, and no wonder. It might be said that prayer is the vocation of Christians. We are called to pray constantly, and in Jesus we have a model of regular prayer. But the questions often asked today, when they ask, "Do you believe in prayer?" what they really mean is, "Do you believe that prayer works?" The claim of our tavern owner was that it did. The claim of the Christians was, well, what was the claim of the Christians? And what about us? Do we believe that prayer works? Maybe. And maybe we aren't so sure. Maybe we don't know how to answer the question. I used to struggle every time a person asked me this question, "Does prayer work?" Of course it does. Well, yeah, but not all the time. Well, we can never be sure, can we? These are some of my lame responses. This was until I finally realized that it wasn't really the right question. It's an impossible question. It's like answering the question, does a telephone work? Well, of course it does, but it doesn't do anything on its own. What is really behind the question, does prayer work, is the real question. Will God give me what I want? Most of the time when we are wondering if prayer works, what we're really saying is, will God grant me my wish? Whatever that wish may be. God, let me pass this test tomorrow. God, let me make that winning shot that I'm standing here at the free throw line ready to make. God, give me the strength to face my boss today. These are the prayers we are praying when we ask the question, does prayer work? What we really want to know is whether God will give us what we want. And will God do that? Good question. James and John wanted Jesus to do something they wanted. They wanted a promise from Jesus that they would be granted special status in heaven. Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left when you are in your glory. A bold request, perhaps. A request that is often seen as arrogance, and maybe it was. Maybe these two sons of thunder, as they were known, were in the midst of a power struggle with the other disciples. As it says in our passage, they certainly weren't happy when they heard about the request. James and John wanted to be number one, and they asked Jesus to grant that. However, my more charitable side wonders if the request came from their hearts. Maybe they desired to be so connected with Jesus that even in heaven, they could be close to him. We should all have such a longing. But no matter what the motivation, Jesus knew that this was more of a request than they realized. For he answered them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Jesus knew where his life was headed. It was to death on the cross, and James and John had no idea of this. They had no idea of what it meant to share in Jesus' journey, but Jesus knew. He knew that James and John were not capable of living with their request, for they didn't really understand it. Does prayer work? Will God do what I want? Did James and John really want what they were asking for? I wonder if that's the case with most of our prayers. In the movie Bruce Almighty, Bruce, played by Jim Carrey, is given a godlike powers by a God, played by Morgan Freeman. Among those powers was the power to answer prayers. A power that he manages to mess up, just like he messes up his other God-given powers. Freeman then talks to Carrey about prayer and tells him that most people don't know what they really want. And maybe that's true for all of us. Like James and John, we think we know what we want, but we really don't know. And if we really understood what we want, we may not really want it. These questions do not mean that God is incapable of acting or that God never acts, for God does act, and prayer is our connection with the God who does act. As we pray for help, for healing, for good things, God invites us to do just that. The great Christian writer C.S. Lewis viewed God's blessings as constantly flowing down to us. For Lewis, prayer was the irrigation system that channeled these blessings to us. If we fail to pray, we fail to tap into God's blessings. Prayer does make a difference. Research at San Francisco General Hospital revealed that the victims of heart attack, heart failure, and other cardiac problems who were remembered in prayers fared better than those who were not. Other such accounts are out there. It's hard to deny that there is some power in prayer, even if we can't quantify it. And in fact, that may be part of the problem. author Elsie Gibson wrote, "There is no way to pin down the results of prayer for other persons and good causes. Its influence does not lie open to precise analysis." She goes on to point out that it is not our prayer effectiveness that brings about change. It is God's actions. Prayer is not about, look at what I did, but it is about thanksgiving for what God does. The other day I saw a sign in a store, a wall plaque, that said, "Prayer changes things." Here is the truth behind that question, does prayer work? I don't know if we can say that a particular prayer will work, but I do know that prayer changes things. When we engage in prayer, we are connecting with the very source of the power in the universe. We should expect something to happen. I remember a teacher once telling me that whenever she felt herself getting frustrated and angry by a student behaving poorly in class, she would say a quick prayer for that student, and in so doing, her attitude towards that student changed. No longer was he a problem to be solved, but a person. And she realized she needed to treat that student as a person. Christian author Madeline L'Engle would understand. Ms. L'Engle tells of a young woman in her church who contracted incurable bone cancer. The women of her church knew that this form of cancer was very painful, so L'Engle and the other women prayed for her. Not so much to be healed, but to have the pain removed. She writes, "The gift of intercessory prayer is not mine, although that does not let me off the hook from praying for others. I know that when I prayed for Bethy, I hurt. I don't think it was a physical pain, but it was pain. During her dying, I would wake up at night and pray for her, and this praying hurt." L'Engle engaged in prayer for someone else, and she herself was affected. And she hoped that in her prayers, the pain of that woman might be reduced. And maybe the fact that she herself was affected is a sign that prayer works. Does prayer work? It surely does. It changes things. It changes us. Madeline L'Engle learned that when we pray for others, we engage ourselves in the process of God's work. And like James and John, it might involve more than we realize. And maybe this is how prayer works. A Confederate soldier penned this prayer during the Civil War, more than 150 years ago. He wrote, "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men, and I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, most richly blessed." Prayer is our faith vocation, and in our prayers, I hope that we all will find that we too are most richly blessed. Amen. Thank you. seated. O Lord, in the midst of all that occupies our time and our energy, we need this sacred time with you. We need it to reorient ourselves, for it is so easy to get caught up in what others are doing and that we forget that you are the center, our rock, our true home. Nudge us back towards you, O God, because there is much to distract us. Help us to focus on you. We need to focus on you. For a few moments, help us to make you the center, O Lord, and listen for your still small voice. We thank you, O God, for never giving up on us, for forgiving us countless times, and for welcoming us back because we are prone to wander. We pray that others may know of your grace and your forgiveness. And if there are ways we can show your love to others, open our eyes to the opportunities. Help us to see you in those whom we meet. God, we are so aware of the many needs in this world, in our community, and in our church. We ask your spirit of wholeness and hope rest on those who we have lifted up in prayer this morning. These are people we know who are in need, and who are contending with injury and disease, who are struggling with the trials of life, who are grieving tremendous losses, who are trying to heal broken relationships, who are fighting for justice. May your spirit help these people and all your children around the world so that all may enjoy peace and well-being. We pray, O Lord, particularly for the Hoff family, and we surround them with our arms and ask that you surround them with your arms. And as they go through this week, O Lord, may you comfort them and comfort us as well, for we all grieve such a loss. We pray all this together, our Lord, joining with Jesus in the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I ask that you please stand as we sing the congregational response as printed in the bulletin. Bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Go now in peace. Amen.